Good morning. Let us stand. It's good to see you this morning. Praise God. Our missions convention service this morning. We are so happy to have another great missionary family with us today. And so we are delighted that you are here. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. So glad to see you all this morning. We're going to start off tonight or this morning with an old hymn, A New Name in Glory. I think this just fits with our missions theme. We're wanting new names to be put down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's our goal as Christians, and to share the good news so that lives can be changed and people can go to heaven forever, man. Amen. Praise God. Once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given. I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. This just a little bit in line with our missions theme. We're talking about reaching souls. Instead of singing it the way it's written, we're going to go, there are new names written down in glory, along with mine. And the white-robed angels sing their stories. The sinners have come home. For there are new names written down in glory, along with mine. And with their sins forgiven, they are bound for heaven, never more to roam. So we're going to change the words a little bit. Let's do it a couple times that way. Oh, there are new names written down in glory, along with mine. And the white-robed angels sing their story.
Along with mine.
of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, God, for the new names that are written down in glory. Every day around this world, there are lives that are saved. There are people that are set free from their sins, and their names are written down in glory. And we thank you, Lord, for the mission and the vision of churches just like this one that believe in supporting the cause to win people to Jesus around the world. And so, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for every name that's been written down. And we thank you, Lord, for the names that are going to continue to be written down until the day that you come again. So, Lord, bless the service this morning. Lord, just pour out your spirit upon us. Bless our speaker today and bless the worship. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Once again, it is good to see you today. I know we have a lower number. We've got several people that are quarantined, and some have the virus. Not a lot of people have the virus. There's more people quarantined because of the virus or have been around people. So that's why we've went to just the schedule of Sunday morning only for the next few weeks here. And as soon as we can open back up and we've got enough people to fill all the classes and the positions, then we will go back. And so anyway, but I'm glad that you are here this morning. Amen. Next Sunday, we're going to have water baptism Sunday. So if you would like to be baptized in water, there is a list out in the foyer. Please sign your name, put your phone number. Someone will contact you this week and further instructions. And then next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in my office right over here off to the right, your left, we will have a short meeting to give some instructions. So bring a change of clothes and come ready for exciting service next Sunday morning. Amen. We're going to go ahead and wait upon you for our offering this morning, our regular offering. We will be receiving a missions offering later in the service, but if our ushers would come, we thank the Lord for this time we can give. Amen. Several other announcements in your bulletin. Be sure you read those, and we trust that you will do that. Father God, bless this offering today, Lord. Use it to further the work and the ministries of the church. Thank you, Father God, for your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here you go, Lucas. We're going to come back and worship here. We're singing three or four more songs here. So after the offering passes you, if you would stand, we will go back to worship. How many of you know there's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus? Amen. I'm glad for the name of Jesus. I'm glad there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lives change. Situations change because of the name of Jesus. Jesus, we worship you, Lord, today in this service. We lift up the name that's above all other names, and we magnify and bless you, Lord, today. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, there's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord, today. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. And broken, you are the only truth and the way. You
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you conquered the grave. You're above all powers. You're above all thrones. You're above all kingdoms. You're above all this world has ever known. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind stone, you live to die, rejected and long like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Sing it again.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. Oh, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're. Rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. For you were crucified, you were laid behind the stone. Rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the and thought of me above all.
Lord, we thank you, God, that you took the fall. You took our fall. You took our punishment. You took the wrath that should have been given to us. You took it upon yourself. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the good news of the gospel today. And Lord, we just pray for many who need your touch today. We pray for Lily Steele. We pray, Father God, for those with the virus. We pray, Father God, for Tony's brother, Tim. We pray for Bruce Kirby. He'll be having surgery this week. We pray, Father God, for Mark Fitzgerald, who's still battling the virus in the hospital. We pray for Maddie Clark. We pray for Glenna. We pray for Victor Edwards, who has an inoperable tumor. We pray for Big John Hall, who is an evangelist and a singer who's also battling the virus. We pray for Rhoda, who was in the hospital today. We pray for Jim Hallett's mother and her husband Richard, who has the virus. We pray that you would just keep Jim's mom from getting that. We pray, Father God, for the Smith family as Connie Reynolds Smith went to be with you this yesterday or day before. We pray that you would just be with her family. As we have her memorial service this week, I just pray that you would be with them on Wednesday. Father God, we just lift up all these needs to you and so many others. We ask that you just touch them and bless them. Be with our nation. Be with our president. Be with the election, Lord. Bless Israel, we pray. Bless all the nations of the world and all the missionaries that we support around this world. We thank you, Father God, for the job that they do. Father God, just meet every need, Lord, today in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Today is the second Sunday of our missions conference. We were supposed to have Stephen and Bailey Kurt with us this morning, and they were unable to be here. And so we took a chance and contacted Zach and Amanda Ray, who I had received an email from and knew they were in Edmond and weren't too far away. But I thought they're probably booked somewhere this Sunday, but I'm just going to chance it. And sure enough, they had this Sunday open. So they said, we'll be glad to come. And so we're happy to have Zach and Amanda Ray with us. They and their two boys are missionaries in India. And I've known Amanda for many years as her parents were missionaries. Kevin and Eunice Tyler, my mind just went completely blank. Amanda is one of the two daughters that they have. And so we've supported the Tylers for years. And I knew Amanda when she was a lot younger. But I did not meet Zach until 2016. I went to India on a missions trip, and some of y'all remember that. I was gone for a week or so. And while I was in Calcutta, I met Zach and Amanda Ray again, and they've gotten married, and now they have two sons. And so just a wonderful, wonderful spirit they have. I just, as soon as, like I said, I'd met Amanda before, but I had never met Zach. And after I met Zach, I thought, man, I just love his heart. And both of them have just done a wonderful work there in Calcutta. They are going to a new area of India coming up this term. And so I'll let them tell you about that. But help me welcome Zach and Amanda Ray and their boys.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. It's really just an honor and a blessing to be here with you this morning. Amanda and I, we kind of do a tag team thing, so she's going to come up a little bit later. So I'm Zach. This is my wife, Amanda. We have two boys. Caden was actually born in the city of Calcutta. So he was born just three years ago, and Landon was born 3 months ago here in America. And so we have just been so blessed by just the District of Oklahoma, and especially this church. Just from the bottom of our hearts, we just want to say thank you, just for your prayers, your support. I would like to say a really special thank you. So both Amanda and I, we went to the field single, and so I went in 2011. Amanda went in 2011. You actually supported Amanda when she was single, so I'd like to thank you for sending her to India, because that's where I met my wife. So you kind of played a little bit of a part in just our story and just us meeting on the field, single in India and married and continuing the ministry there. And we've been in India for over 10 years. India is a beautiful country. 1.3 billion people live in India. 70% of that nation is under the age of 35 years old, and only 2% actually call themselves followers of Jesus. Out of 1.3 billion people, 2% are followers of Jesus. So there's a need. In India, a lot of people don't have access to the gospel. They don't have access to the name of Jesus, and so that's why we're there. That's why we feel called to be there, to live there, for our family to live there. Like Pastor said, we've been in the city of Calcutta. We've been leading a team. And for us to be in the country, we have specific ways that we're there. And so we currently work at a music school. And that gives us a legitimate reason to be in that country. They've given us a business visa to be there. And so India is changing, and like most countries, a lot of it is changing. So to be there, you need unique ways and creative ways to be in that, to be there. And so the past 5 years, we've been leading a team. We've had a few missionary associates from the U.S. and a few young Indians from the church there in Calcutta that have served on our team. And so what we do mostly is use music and creative arts as a way to reach out to the community. There's a lot of people, a lot of young people in India who'd never come to a traditional church building. And so what we do is we provide classes and workshops that just develop into relationships with those students. And through those relationships, we're able to invite people to our home. And so we have community groups that meet in our home. And so through those classes and workshops, we've been able to have conversations about who Jesus is and our hope in Jesus. And we've been able to start home groups, home fellowships at our home. And we work in partnership with the local church there. So when somebody comes to faith, we always direct them back to the church. I just want to show you the first video that basically, the name of the video is Come to the Table, the Common Table. And that's a lot of what we do, is we invite people into our homes. Once we have conversations about who Jesus is, we invite people closer into our community, and we have conversations about Jesus in hopes that they will eventually accept him as their Savior. So watch this video. gospel. And so I know this year's theme is compelled. We're compelled to go. A lot of you are compelled to send. A lot of you are compelled to pray, compelled to give, compelled to come alongside of us. And so the reason that we're in India is to make the name of Jesus famous. And you have a huge part of that. And so we're just so grateful. We're so thankful for partners and churches like you that help us get to the field to make the name of Jesus famous. And we know that God, that 2,000 unreached people groups, that is going to become lower and lower and lower. And that 2% that follow Jesus is going to become higher and higher and higher. And so as you're praying for our family, just remember India in your prayers. Remember the people in India in your prayers. The next season for our family has us sending, has us going to the city of Mumbai. Depending on who you ask and, you know, what website you look up, there's about 15 to 18 million people in that city. And it's a city that it's really thriving. So it's a city that has a lot of business that comes in that city, a lot of music and creative arts in that city. And so as we were preparing to go back, as we talked to our leadership, they asked what we did in Calcutta, that we'd be able to do the same in Mumbai. And so we'll be going back, a family of four this time, back to the city of Mumbai. And so as you're praying for us, would you just pray as we begin to just share with people to join our team, churches like you that are sending us. And again, we couldn't be in India without you. We couldn't go without you. We couldn't share the name of Jesus without you there in that country. And so it's a huge honor to be here this morning to see your faces, to say thank you, to just have the privilege to be able to partner with you and for you to partner with us in sending us. And so thank you, Pastor C, for your heart, this church's heart for missions, to make the name of Jesus famous, not only here in the U.S., but throughout the world. And so we're just so thankful. I'm going to have Amanda come up, and she's just going to just, we're going to tag team. She's going to be able to share just a little bit with you. We're going to switch the babies.
Sorry about that. You never really know what Caden is going to do if he gets close to a microphone. So we had him with us the other day, and we were sharing with a group of people, and he came up and was like, "I want to hold it." Maybe not. So we are really we were really glad to be able to be here with you guys. It wasn't necessarily planned, but we've been really excited about the opportunity because we haven't been able to share with a lot of people in Oklahoma anytime recently. The last time I itinerated and was like really in Oklahoma was literally 10 years ago. And Zach, because he was a part of the picture only about 5 years ago, has actually really never been able to see so many of your faces and have the opportunity just to share about our hearts for what God wants to do in India and through India. It's a really special country, and right now, if you look at the statistics, it actually accounts for about 1 out of every 6 people on the planet. And so God has a special place for India, for the Indian people, and we believe that he wants to use them in a really special way. But that doesn't happen unless they hear. And that is where we come in, is where Zach and I come in terms of we're there, but it's also where we come in. We are all a part of what God is doing in India when we pray, when we give. And it's so special to think that anytime I pray or I give towards anywhere in the world, I get to become a part of what God is doing in that part of the world. A lot of what we've talked about in India recently and what our leadership is really focusing on is this concept of bringing people to the table. And so we call it the common table, and we talk about a table, and we talk about it in a couple different senses. And so just to kind of explain that concept, it is at its kind of very core, a very natural, very actual table. You know, like I actually bring people into my house and we sit at a table and we have dinner. Although I think in a lot of parts of the world, we maybe don't sit at a table anymore. And in India, that's definitely true. They may not actually sit at my table. We may be sitting on a couch or on a floor or somewhere else, but we're sitting down at a, you know, something. And we're eating together, and we're allowing people to be in relationship with one another over something that everybody enjoys, and that's food, because we all like to eat. We may not tell the truth about it, but at the end of the day, if you're going to give me some food, I'm going to eat it. So we talk about it in that just pure physical sense of we want people to come to our tables, because when people come to my table, I have a chance to share just basic life. And I start to talk about the things that I'm going through, whether the good or the bad. And I get to talk about what's happening with our boys. I get to talk about, you know, like things that Zach and I are seeing. We get to talk about what's happening in the world around us. And when we start to talk about those things, we have this distinct opportunity to also share God's perspective. I can talk about my little boy's behavior, and I can share God's perspective. And I can also talk about what's happening in our country, and we can talk about God's perspective. And that's a place where we begin to be able to share who Jesus really is. Not what the media's made him out to be, and not what the media would want to say Christians are like, and not what the world has made followers of Jesus to be, but what we truly are when we follow Jesus. And when we have his spirit working inside of us, that becomes apparent when people are at our tables. But it doesn't just actually end there. So we have that physical table. But then one of the things that we've talked about in India a lot, and one of the things that actually that our pastor in Calcutta would say a lot, is when we have communion together, we are bringing people to a table. So when we're talking about a common table that we're inviting people to, it's not just that physical table where, hey, you're going to come over and we're going to have dinner and we're going to talk about whatever. I also want to invite you to a table of communion where we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and where the blood of Jesus is thicker than the water of the womb, where the blood of Jesus will begin to cover all of our sins, all of our issues with one another, all of our disagreements, and we become one. We're invited to that table also, and we want people to join us at that table. And Jesus' return is so often awaiting people coming to that table. We're waiting for everyone to join us. It's kind of like everybody sitting around waiting for Dad to come home so we can actually eat dinner. You know, like, come on, guys. Come on to the table so we can eat. So that last invitation that we're extending to people isn't even just in the here and in the now. It's in a future table. Because the people I meet in India, I want them to be at the table with Jesus at the end of time. And sometimes it breaks your heart to think at this point in time, they won't be there. I have to do something. I have to share. I have to say something. And isn't that true of the people that we encounter in the day-to-day? If you think about it, they may not be there unless I say something, unless Jesus does something. But the truth of the matter is that he wants to use us. He wants to use us to bring people to the table so that they can be at the table. So the common table is, to wrap up, for in general, I mean, like what we're talking about in sense of India, it is an initiative that exists to make an impact for God through relationships, believing that these small things, like bringing people home to our tables, can result in big impact. And the more I think about a table, the more I think about food. let's be honest, we all think about food and we start to think about tables, and now everybody's kind of like, man, I'm ready for lunch now. So it's kind of an automatic thing. I think about a table and I start to think about food. And when you go to India, you realize that gets really complicated. So when we would have dinners, it started out with people that were vegetarian. It's really, really common in India to be vegetarian. So that's not usually something that throws you for a loop, because you kind of start to learn how to bake vegetarian. You start to figure out how to, you know, do all this other stuff without eggs or meat or all the other things that vegetarians don't eat. And then you would throw in like a vegan, so then you really had to be kind of careful, you know, like watching all your dairy products and everything like that. And then we started having people come to dinner that were gluten-free. So that kind of threw in a wrench too, because then you were like, well, now I can't even have spaghetti, so now what? So then we had gluten-free, then we had some people that were lactose intolerant, then we had some people that started following specific diets, and so by the end of it, we were kind of like, you can have rice. Everybody's having rice today. But it is kind of funny, the more we talk about a table, and the more we bring people into our lives, the more like food becomes a central thought process, because we actually have to think about what we're going to serve everybody, because we want everybody to be able to eat. But in the sense that God is bringing us to a table, there's a verse that we all know well, and we actually heard a kind of a message on it recently, and I've been thinking about it in terms of the common table. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Most of us have heard that verse. That is not a new verse for most of us. Simple. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And part of what we do in India and part of what God is doing in each of our lives is inviting us to join him at a table of relationship. He is inviting you and me to know him and have a relationship with him and his people here and now. He's inviting you. He's calling you. He's saying your name and mine and saying, be with me. Be in relationship with me. Let's eat together. In a spiritual sense, eat what I have prepared for you in my word, in prayer, to taste. He's calling us to taste of him and of his kingdom. So in that, if you think about it, most of us, the longer we know Jesus, the more we have a story of that one point when God has initially called us to taste him. I remember being in high school, and although my parents were missionaries, and so I had accepted Jesus at a pretty young age, but I remember that moment in high school where Jesus really got my attention. And I was struggling with depression, and I was not sure if he was trustworthy. And I remember one night crying and saying, Lord, if you are real, you'll show yourself to me. And it was like I just got enveloped by his presence. And I look back at that one moment, that singular moment, being that is the moment when I know that I initially tasted of his presence. And I think most of us can say the same. And if you haven't, today he's asking you, Will you be in a relationship with me? Will you join me? Will you sit with me? Will you hear me? Listen to me. Will you obey me? Jesus continues to extend the invitation, and if we don't know him, we can. But you know, the longer I know Jesus, and the better I come to know him, and the older I get, and you know, it all kind of goes together. The older I get, the better I know him. The more I realize that call to taste is also one where he's wanting us to see that he's good. But in order to see that he's good, I sometimes have to take a little bit of a step out of my comfort zone. And let's all be honest, we all have our little comfort zone, right? Like I have, like this is where I'm comfortable. Don't make me go here. Don't make me do that. Don't make me give up this. Don't make me suffer this. Like those moments when he was saying, hey, Amanda, how do you feel about going to India? Yeah, no, it's hot in India. I hate the heat. I really, really do. Zach can attest, like I turn beet red, I sweat all over my face. It's not a pretty picture. I don't enjoy the heat. And yet here's God saying, how do you feel about India? Great. And so a little bit of a step out of my comfort zone, you're like, okay, I can be sweaty. It's all right. I can learn to be sweaty. And thankfully, I've learned to be sweaty. Or how do you feel about being in India single? Oh, well, still not ideal. But I guess if I trusted him with the heat thing and being in India in the first place, I guess I can trust him to be single in India. Do you trust me to bring you the right man, even in India? And that turned out really well, as you can see. So glad about that. Do you trust me to move you around a few times in India? Because that also happened. I was in one city, and then I got moved to another city, and then I finally moved to Calcutta. Calcutta was my third city to live in India, and I'm about to move to my fourth. So he's still saying, hey, so I know you got used to this, but how about we change it up and we're going to move over here, where in India that means they probably speak a different language, they're going to dress differently, and the expectations of what you do are going to be different. Great. Keep going. Yes. I've already said yes enough. I'm going to keep saying yes. In 2016, Zach and I got pregnant with our first baby, and she was stillborn in October. And when we went into the ultrasound room to see if she was okay, I heard God audibly ask me, "Do you trust me?" He's calling us to trust him. Because you know what? That hurt, and we grieved for a long time. And we had Caden like just literally the next year, and it was a roller coaster the whole time. But you know what? Something incredible has happened as we have trusted Jesus with our little girl. And the fact that he has taken that and used it to open doors that we could have never pushed open on our own. He calls us into relationship, but as he does that, he also calls us to trust. And as we trust, he does miraculous, miraculous things that are way beyond our own ability. So today, you're talking about missions, and you're talking about being compelled to go, and you're talking about, you know, the idea that there are people that need to hear. And it makes me think, stop and think a little bit. What maybe do you need to trust him with? If you know Jesus, and you know that he's calling you, and you know that he's inviting you into a new place and a new people, whether that means that you're doing something new here in Noble or in Oklahoma City or in the U.S. in general, or you just know that God is calling you somewhere else. What is it that you need to say, Lord, I will trust you? What is that thing that you'll trust him with? If you're single, is it your singleness? Say, Lord, I will go where you want me to go, even if I do have to go single. Or, Lord, I will go even though I have to take my family. Or, Lord, I will go even though that means I have to trust you with my elderly parents or my college-age kids. There's so many things that keep us from doing the things that God would have us to do. If he is calling you and there's something holding you back, what is that thing? And if he's asking you to trust him, will you trust him? Because bringing people to a table requires us to trust. Bringing people into relationship with Jesus and sharing him requires us to trust him. See, God asked if I would trust him, and I have continued to find that if I will simply trust, then he really will just take care of the rest. Like, if I just trust him and I spend time with him, then he will just take care of the rest. But you know, the thing is the more I trust and the more I listen, the more I hear him inviting me into that privilege of sharing him. Because it can't just stop with just me and him. Like, that isn't where it's supposed to stop. His invitation is what draws Zach and I back to India year after year. Because trust me, it's not the heat. It doesn't draw me back. And it's not always even the fact that, you know, everything's just wonderful and peachy. And it is his invitation. Instead, we are compelled to continue to share what he's doing. So the thing is that if we're being people that are involved in the privilege of sharing him, then there's a couple ways that he really does invite us to do that. And I think we hear those a lot, because we hear them a lot. But just bear with me as we kind of revisit them a little. He's calling you to share and to go where you are and to consider going to places that maybe you haven't considered before. But each of you encounters people that don't know Jesus at work or at school, at the store, in your homes, in your families. Only you know who those people are. But he has placed you where you are in this time, in this season, for purpose. And part of that purpose is to share who he is. And that's not necessarily, you know, like I sit somebody down and I tell them, you need to accept Jesus all the time. That's not how that, you know. What I'm saying is that he is calling you to share his character through the way that you live. Because the way that we live should be so infused with his character that it's overflowing into how we live. And that I should be so kind and so gentle and so thoughtful and so loving and so peaceful. Like, in a time when nobody is peaceful. That people kind of go, huh, there's something different. I like it. I like the peaceful thing. You know, Jesus actually said that people would know us by the fact that we were unified. If there has never been more of a call to be a unified church than now, I don't know when it would have been. We are called to be a unified church. Forget the politics that we're talking about all the time now, or that we hear all the time. Forget all the other stuff. We are called to be unified, and that unified purpose is to know Jesus and to share Jesus, no matter who's president, or no matter what's happening on campuses, or no matter if I have to wear a mask. I'm called to share Jesus. I'm called to love Jesus. We're unified in that, and we can be unified in that and be different in that. Another way that we're called to be a part of things and to share who he is, invited to share who he is simply by praying. And I think when I was younger, I always had this idea that that meant I had to sit down with this like huge list that I'd write out, you know, and I'm kind of a list person anyway, so maybe that was part of my problem. But I would write out this list and it would have like 25 names on it, be like, I want to pray for these people every day. I'm going to do it. I never did it. I was never very good at that. God's asking for us to just do something. Pick someone. Pray for someone. Pray for some country. Pray for some type of people. It doesn't have to be this, 30-minute, hour-long thing. God is asking us to take a minute. Hey, can you spare a minute to pray for this? And I think sometimes we blow that out of proportion. We think, I need to pray for an hour and then Jesus will really hear me. Like, Jesus will hear us in our minutes. So if you're busy, start giving him at least a minute. And then before you know it, the easier it gets to be to add a few more names to that list before you're like, oh, yeah. And the thing is that instead of making those lists, I think so many times God wants to speak to our hearts about what to pray about. The New Testament promises that the Spirit will guide us. If we will just cry out and say, help me to pray, the Spirit will guide us. So allow him to speak into our hearts about what to pray and pray. I've never been more convinced that we are to be a people of prayer. If we want to see things change in our communities, if we want to see things changing in our nation, if we want to see things changing in our world, we have to become people that pray. That doesn't just happen on its own. Like, we have to be people that pray. If I want the people that I invite to the table to come to know Jesus, then I have to pray. And if we're all doing that, if we're all inviting people into our houses to invite people to our tables, then at the very least, we need to be praying for those people. And then, of course, there's always the idea that we can give. When we give to, there's all sorts of different ways that we can give to different groups, different organizations, different, But when we give to what God is doing, we enable people to move forward in how he's called them. When you give to Zach and I, and you do give to Zach and I, when you give to Zach and I, you enable us to move forward in what God is calling us to do in India. And without you, we actually literally couldn't do it, because I don't know if you've looked lately, but it takes money to buy a plane ticket, and it takes money to live there. And but when you give, you enable people to live out the calling that God has put on their lives. Giving matters. And so when we experience someone coming to know the Lord, you also are a part of that. And while you may not know their names or their faces or even when it happens, at the end of time, Jesus will know. When we're faithful to give, it may not seem like much now. And when we're faithful to pray, sometimes like it may not seem like much now. But in eternity, everything will come to light. That's one of the promises we have, is that everything comes to light. So Jesus is inviting us to his table to taste and see that he is good. It's pretty simple, actually. Taste and see that he is good. And when we say yes to his invitation, we find ourselves living lives that are abundant. And not necessarily in that physical sense of, I have everything I want. But it leads us to a place where our hearts are full. And we're lacking no good thing because our hearts are full with Jesus. We are We are actually so blessed, I think, here in America. I mean, Zach and I think we've been really, really blessed. I mean, we've had God take care of us every step of the way and take care of us, take care of the boys. But even here in the United States, we are incredibly blessed people. And that doesn't mean life is perfect. I'm not wanting to say that, because I know that there's a lot of people in this room that probably have things going on, whether that's health or family or many other things. But at the end of the day, compared to so many, we are blessed. We are very blessed. And I have to remind myself of that very often. We are blessed people. And it is and should be our privilege and our honor to share that blessing with those that might need it. And especially when it comes to sharing Jesus. We are blessed and privileged to be a people that get to share him, that have the means to share him. We want to thank you just again for allowing us to share a little bit of our hearts with you. We pray that that God would continue to bless you. We are especially thankful just for your generosity towards us and for allowing us to just be here. But we do encourage you, because Jesus is wanting to know you and to be in relationship with you. Jesus is asking you to trust him, and most of all, Jesus is saying, will you share me with those that don't know me? So, Pastor.
Thank you, Amanda and Zach, for being with us today. We want to receive an offering for them, so if our ushers would come, if you're making out a check, just make it out to Noble Assembly of God and put in the memo or on the envelope, put Ray, R-A-Y, and then we will know that that is for them. I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to give to missions. So if you take your faith promise card, like I said, and there's not a lot of us here today, but if you have that card, please indicate on there what you feel the Lord would have you to give to missions, and we're going to ask you to put these cards in the offering as well. And then that will help us know where we are in light of the number of missionaries we support. We support over 60 missionaries a month, most of the 100 a month, some more. And so that's quite a challenge for this size church, I would say. $6,300 a month in missions giving. And I know the Lord is blessed, and I know people are reached because of your obedience and because of your generosity. So thank you for your giving continually, month after month, giving to missions above your tithes. So Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity we have to give to Zach and Amanda Ray and the calling you've placed on their life to be in India. I pray, Father God, that you bless them, that you watch over them and the boys, that you protect them, provide for them, keep them healthy, keep them well. Lord, open up doors, give them souls for their labor, we pray. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give monthly to support missionaries like the Rays and the other 50, 60, some other missionaries we support. Thank you, Lord, for the monthly giving of the people of this church. And so, Father, we just call upon you to help us to do our best to give, knowing that one day, as Amanda said, we will stand before you and the books will be opened and we will see the difference that maybe we didn't see on earth that we were making, but heaven will reveal just the tremendous amount of blessing that we were able to accomplish in this life. And so, Father, bless this offering today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the offering is being received, let's sing this song. We had one last song on the worship list here. His name is Master, Savior, Lion of Judah, Blessed Prince of Peace. You're my shepherd, fortress, rock of salvation, the Lamb of God is He. Son of David, King of the ages, eternal life. Holy Lord of glory, His name is love. Now just sing it to the Lord one time. Your name is Master, Savior, you're the Lion of Judah, you're the Blessed Prince of Peace. You're my Shepherd, Fortress, you're the Rock of Salvation. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that your name is life. Your name is peace. Your name is joy. Your name is hope. And your name is the name above all names. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today in this sanctuary that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, or anybody that's watching over the live stream, I pray right now, Lord, that you speak to their heart. That you remind them that you love them, that you died on the cross for them, that you shed your blood so that their sins could be forgiven, so that their name could be put in the Lamb's Book of Life that we've sung about this morning. Father, I pray for them right now that you would speak to their hearts, that they would say, yes, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me into the person you want me to be. Help me to live for you. Help me, Lord, to one day hear you say, well done, when I stand before you. So, Lord, I pray over that person right now, or persons, that they would say, yes, Jesus, I want to serve you. Come into my life and make a difference in me. Father God, just go with us here today, we pray, and we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Lead us to someone that we can invite to come to the table, as Zach and Amanda talked about this morning, so that we can share your love and your life with them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for being here today.